Grace and peace be yours this day from Christ our Lord. A portion of Holy Scripture which I would like to briefly share with you this morning is the Gospel for yesterday, recorded in John chapter 20, beginning with verse 19. When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the disciples' midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus therefore said to them again, "Peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, so also do I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained." But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus had come. And the other disciples, therefore, were telling him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see his hands and the imprint of the nails in them, and I put my finger into the place of the nails, and I thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." So after 8 days, again the disciples were inside. Thomas was with them, and Jesus came, the doors again being closed. And Jesus stood in their midst and said, "Peace be unto you." And then Jesus said to Thomas, "Reach here your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and behold my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who do not see, but yet believe." The Sunday after Easter is sometimes referred to as Low Sunday, to contrast it, I suppose, from the high festival of Easter. It can also be called White Sunday, for it was in the ancient church the last day on which the newly baptized wore their white garments. It can also be called, and has been historically called, the Sunday of the Apostle Thomas. No doubt because our text says that on the eighth day, that is to say, the first Sunday after Easter, these things occurred. When I first looked at this passage, the gospel for the first Sunday after Easter, Quasimodo Geniti Sunday, I thought to myself, strange, is it not, that the church's foremost doubter and scepter should be named after a Sunday, the first Sunday after Easter? Poor Thomas. I feel he's had a bum rap, being called the Doubting Thomas. I don't know when the church first got this idea, but you find it in the late Middle Ages in all kinds of ivory and manuscript illuminations. But is it true? It seems to me something like calling the Damascus experience of Paul persecuting Paul Sunday. The fact of the matter is, Thomas gives us the most clear confession of Christ's lordship and divinity in any place in the Bible. He's not so much doubting here as the one who sees the Lord and confesses. Let's face it, Mary Magdalene was touching Jesus all about, so much so that Jesus says, "Come on, Mary, cut it out." And then it says, she believed. And the disciples, we are told by our text too, were shown the hands and the side, were they not? But there's no disparagement about them. Thomas asked for no more proof than they received. Why pick on Thomas? He confessed. And I submit to you that Thomas is named after this Sunday, or this Sunday rather after Thomas, because he's our model. He saw beyond the mere phenomenon before him. He saw more than the apostles apparently saw. They saw Jesus and said, "We have seen him." Thomas sees him and says, "My Lord, my God." Ah, he knew what the resurrection was really about. No mysterious phantom now exists in our midst. But I have been addressed, and I cannot see him without seeing me spoken to. Peace be unto you. I have peace. My Lord, my God, you are raised, I am raised. You send me, I am sent. You forgive my sins are forgiven. Thomas confessed. He's not a doubting Thomas. He's a confessing Thomas. He's a saint. He's an image of the church. He's an apostle. He knew that in confronting this resurrected one, Thomas must confess. And he knew, I suspect, kind of by intimation maybe, what the resurrection was really going to be all about for him. "We have seen the Lord." Thomas did not say, "Oh boy, we're going to see him come through wooden doors." No, think of it. "I want to feel those wounds." And he did. And in feeling those wounds, he confesses, "My Lord and my God." For the resurrection does not pass us beyond the cross. The resurrection simply says to us, in the cross there is life. In the cross, forgiveness of sins. And in the cross, the kingdom of God and freedom from Satan. You expect nothing more, my followers, than the cross. If you're going to confess my name, you will do so when you feel the wounds. And if you don't feel the wounds, there is going to be no confession of this resurrected one. And so Luke was right when he describes the Christian life as a daily taking up of our cross. And Paul, when he describes the wisdom of power of God as being none other than Christ crucified, or the vision of John of the Lord as the slain lamb. Resurrection is a message, but not a resurrection message that we often hear, but a message that says even there where there is suffering and death, where there is anxiety and loneliness and despair, where there is hunger and thirst and suffering, there you may speak the word, "Peace be unto you." This too is conquered. Christ is risen. Tradition has it that Thomas went to India. It says he was a carpenter, that he performed many miracles, that he preached the gospel, and finally that he suffered a martyr's death. "My Lord and my God" led him to an imitation of the crucified Christ, who was a carpenter, preached the gospel, and did many miracles, and went into death. We can expect no more than did Thomas. It's a message for us ministers. For the only response to the crucified one is to reach out and wish to to put our fingers and our hands into the wounds of Christ. What does that mean? It means simply that if we are ministers of Christ, we must go to where there is the human travail for which Christ came. And there speak the word, for there will be the crucified Christ and the message of redemption in his name. Peace be unto you. Christ is risen, your sins forgiven.